In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in
3, 2, 1.
And welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh. And my little Kryptonian pile of dust is the one, the only.
I'm no Superman.
Thank you for stealing my pre-pod stinger.
Yep, you got a little bit on there.
You
didn't get the middle finger today, which is always nice.
Yeah. So, welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast, where Travis Ratz and I dive deep into graphic novels and trades. You are on an episode that we call a comic book club. It's like a book club, but with comics. And we are in the second of our absolute trilogy for the month of April. We have three.
Third, Josh. Oh, for April.
Well, yes, for April. So this April, we're getting absolute. We're getting absolute with
absolute
it.
Absolute April.
Wow, I didn't even notice. The alliteration was unplanned.
I can't believe that went by you that's like your milieu.
I know. And now I'm trying to see if I can figure out how to say absolute, but April at the same time. And I can't, and that's okay. It's all right.
It does sound like a No Effects song to like absolute April.
It does. It does.
Horrible No Effects impression.
It's a bad fat mic. We are reading some absolute titles. We've been bitten by the absolute bug. Back in January, we read Absolute Batman. And then we said, you know what? Let's read some superhero comics. Last year, not a whole lot of superhero comics made our year-end review as we were going over last year. And so we're correcting that by just diving into DC's smorgasbord of otherworldly comics. And that means we're reading Absolute Superman. At some point, when we end with these three books, I believe we should touch base for like a mini-sode where we talk about what we learned from the absolute thing, what we believe is needed more. But right now, we got Absolute Superman, Last Dust of Krypton, Volume 1, by Jason Aaron, Rafa Sandoval, and Ulysses Arriola. So here are our creators on this book. Travis Ratz, could you tell me, what's the difference between this Superman, who's absolute, and the other Superman, if you could just go, okay, I think it's the story.
Oh, yeah,
of
yeah,
it.
I got you. We'll touch it. Yeah. I think I know what you're saying on there. So, Absolute Superman comes from Krypton. OG Superman also comes from Krypton. So that's a similarity, Josh. And you asked for differences.
I did. Yeah.
This Superman has a cape. Absolute Superman has a cape made of Kryptonian red dust.
Yes.
This Superman also uses the spacecraft / space suit that his parents made for him to leave Krypton as a tool, almost like an Iron Man-esque Tony Stark suit to help him in his battles and communicate with him. It's like his friend.
Yeah. Soul, I believe, is the name.
Soul. Yes. Soul power. And this Superman didn't come to Earth as an infant. He was like 16, 17, I'm going
to
say.
It's hard to say, but yeah, I think you're right. I think somewhere in there, 16, 17.
And only briefly, this Absolute Superman only briefly spent time
with
Ma and Pa Kent.
Yeah.
Before he was on the run. And this Superman is Absolute Superman constantly on the run.
Constantly on the run. And being chased by a multi-governmental organization or some weird corporate entity, Lazarus, which we know.
Lazarus, yeah.
And an agent for Lazarus is
Lois Lazarus Lane.
Which is weird. I would say we read Absolute Batman. That did not have, I mean, there were some differences and maybe those differences will grow, but they didn't seem as stark. And we just read Absolute Wonder Woman, and that didn't feel as stark as the difference with this. This feels like a different world. I think this feels like it's a completely different world. We have this giant organization called Lazarus. it just feels like this is in a different place, where the other ones, the place feels different too. Not just the character, but the setting feels vastly, this is the first one that makes the absolute world feel different.
Right. It doesn't feel connected to the other two, because really, as we open this book, as you said, we're dealing with this kind of Lazarus Corps, which is basically overseen by Brainiac and the...
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul. But who are the soldiers?
Oh, the peacemakers, right? The
peacemakers.
Everybody, which is... Okay.
I'm a peacemaker, and you're a peacemaker, and you're a peacemaker.
Yeah, it feels... So, I get it. It's this thing where, okay, peacemakers in the zeitgeist because John Cena is the peacemaker. It's kind of a thing. So that's a funny one to use. But I was like, oh, I don't know. That just doesn't – that's
– It's a pretty extreme aesthetic visual to have all over the panels. But we can talk about that. So I think you're right. At first I was chafing against this character being the most different. But then you talked about the world. And you brought back the character. And I'm in that – 10 seconds, I was like, maybe this is the most different character. It's certainly more different Superman here than Wonder Woman was different from her absolute version.
Yeah.
But the Batman, I might agree too. I might agree with Batman. And maybe we can dig into that. Like, why do these? Because like I said, he's still from Krypton. Krypton blew up. He spent a little less time with Ma and Pa Kent. Yet something feels at its core more different than the other absolute characters that we've read, aka Wonder Woman and Batman.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's just the nature of, like, this just feels, I think there's just something in, like, maybe it's because that Superman story is so boiled down to just being like a baby with no connection to his homeland, lands in Kansas, is raised by good-hearted people, becomes, you know, this Boy Scout, you know, that takes care of everybody. I think maybe that's just so ingrained because of decades and decades and decades that, like, having him be the cape just feels so different, and the suit. And I think just spending time with him as a child on Krypton feels different. Right.
Right. So let's talk about this. I want to kind of get into this more.
Hey, Jason Aaron really doesn't like AI, huh?
Yeah. No kidding. We'll talk about that too. We'll talk about some of the themes in this. I forgot what I was going to say. When did you first move away from your hometown?
When I went to college. So 18.
18. Okay. So, yeah. That's a huge amount of time. So it's kind of like Superman, like how much time you spent on Krypton here.
Yeah.
So at this point, like when you leave, like when you grow up in a place and you leave in your teenage years, you I kind of moved around from place to place. So do you feel like when you left home that you were kind of like your identity at that point was kind of fully formed kind of as an identity as a teenager at that point? And it's all rooted in that Midwest roots.
Yeah, I think because we moved when I was right after kindergarten. We moved to a different place. And then I was in that place. I went to school with the same kids from first grade to 12th grade. I grew up in a really small town, right? So those are kind of formative years in your youth. And mine was spent in one place with one culture with, you know what I mean? Like you build that up.
Yeah.
So then when I left home, I mean, I would say that leaving impacted some things, but, you know, I think where you grow up always sticks with you.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, it would be like you said you moved someplace to the place you grew up at when you were in kindergarten. That's the Superman story. Like he left Krypton like as a toddler, a kindergartner, and then everything he knows that forms him is from Earth, a.k.a. Right. Kansas and Ma and Pa Kent.
Right.
When you remove that and you let him form a fully realized a young adult Superman before he leaves, he is so tethered to Krypton and his parents that it creates a completely different character. So I agree with you. This character is fundamentally the most different of the absolute characters that we've seen so far in the runs that we've read.
I think that that's the key part. I think the thing, what we get is sort of like the proletariat Superman. And I don't like that we get this sort of like working class. My dad was a miner. I'm, you know, like I'm standing up for the oppressed people because that's what he saw on Krypton. He saw, you know, the Men of Steel, right? Because they worked in the factories and the mills and in the mines. And he comes to Earth, or at least what we get in this volume is him essentially standing up for all these workers across the Lazarus controlled, you know, countries, right? So like he's in Brazil, he's in all these, there's like a whole panel where there's a whole couple pages where Lois Lane is talking to all these people who he saved or he's had contact with. And he's like standing up for the worker because that's what he wished would have happened on Krypton. And I would tell you, you could probably tell the same exact story if he ended up in Kansas in like the 80s, right? Like, I think there's, or like put him in Pittsburgh, or like with my dad in the UAW in Michigan, right? But I like this is not a, I think it's interesting because he comes from a very class-based society in Krypton. This is a this class-based society in Krypton, you translate him here and he sees that here. And I think like he is now fighting on the side of his family, his neighbors in Krypton. He sees them here and on Earth, and he's sticking up and fighting for them in there. It's an interesting piece. Yeah.
We talked about with Wonder Woman Batman how Absolute seems to be feeling like if you strip away some of the details in the the window dressing, what is this character as core? And this seems to be saying, you know, with that kind of worker and union rights you were talking about, is when you strip away all that stuff and he comes to Earth as a teenager, he's still the core is still justice,
right? Standing up for the little guy, right? Like,
to be honest, when you bring the AI stuff in it, it's truth and justice. It's just missing the American way so far.
Right. And I think even if you go back and look at some of those really old Superman strips, right? I read a book about the history of Superman, and some of those early strips are very much like him fighting bankers, him fighting the owners of factories who are mistreating workers. Right.
Yeah.
So it's this interesting piece where like, well, let's go back to the roots of this Superman standing up for truth and justice. Right. But how do we get that ingrained in him? And it's interesting that Jason Aaron decided the way to ingrain that in him is to have him not born in the United States, but born in like not grown up in the United States, but growing up in Krypton still.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way to, it's an interesting way to do it, of
rebels and dissidents of that society.
Yeah.
Right. His parents in this are kind of fascinating because they really focus on the hierarchy of Krypton and the Science Guild being like the top hierarchy and the working class being the, and of course, every Superman story has to have an explanation for the symbols.
Yeah.
So the S in this is not hope or Superman. It's the crest for the working class. So all the working class characters are on there. But these are, his parents are very much characters who would have outkicked their coverage with their class and would have been that science class, but they questioned authority. His father, his mother wrote a paper in college that criticized Krypton's refusal to outer space exploration.
Yeah.
And his father, I forgot what he did, and he's like basically a geological engineer.
Yeah.
Turned into just a regular mine worker pretty much because he did something they didn't like. So he grew up with these kind of revolutionary parents who could have very much played the game and been part of the system that oppresses other classes, but they didn't. And then they pass that on to, I keep on saying Clark, but it's not Kal-El.
Kal-El. We get like Che Guevara Superman, which is an interesting.
Very much so.
which is an interesting sort of like, it is a take that I can't, if you ask me to pitch my absolute Superman, I don't know that it would have been this. And that doesn't mean that that's not me saying I don't enjoy this. I thought it was a really interesting take as he's bouncing around, right? Like, India, Botswana, Brazil, Belarus, Mexico, Vietnam, South Africa, a reservation in the United States, Egypt, right? He's in all of these places standing up against Lazarus and greed and the mistreatment of workers, right? And then not only do we get Lazarus standing in as our corporate overlords, right? You then get sort of this organization, the Omega Men, as kind of the resistance movement against it. And I think it'll be an interesting as we...
Who Jimmy Olsen's a part of, by the way.
Right, Jimmy Olsen is part of the Omega Men. It's an interesting idea of... Is Superman kind of the football in the middle? Right. Because I can't imagine you write the story where he picks a side because both sides are I'm curious, like how Jason Aaron is going to thread this needle between like, is either side good? Is there a third way? Whatever it is. I'm curious how he does that, because right now the story is, ooh, we got to pull out Lois Lane away from this evil organization. Right. A badass Lois Lane, though, Travis Ratz.
Yeah, I love it. So here's where Lois Lane, here's their almost like what they have in
their
common is
it's their
Kal-El. Yeah, they do have a meet cute, but what they have, their common interest is they both can't stand AI. On Krypton, they have like the Krypton Information Center that all students have to use when they're writing the reports is to pull the information from there. And Kal-El dares to not use it, and his parents get called in by the teachers, and they're like, he's not using, people have been using this for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, we've been using this information system. He's like, I wrote it myself,
and then
he gets punished for it.
Global riots ensue when his paper that he writes at the police terminal gets sent out across the planet.
And then Lois Lane, we meet when she's filing her report on first meeting Superman, is that she's like, he's like, why are you writing a report? You hate writing. And this, of course, we know is funny because Lois Lane loves writing. And she goes, you know, I'm kind of liking this. It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. Not, you know,
she's like, I need to use my own words to express him, to express meeting, you know, this. And I think there's this reoccurring theme where AI is this, these AI stand-ins are telling people, what you're saying is this. And like, no, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they're like, the whole scene with the guy who,
the Omega Man guy.
The Omega Man guy. Oh, and then the peacemaker who like,
peacemaker. Trying, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. The peacemaker who is like, that's his therapist, the AI therapist. He's like, oh, what you're saying is that it's the gun's fault. It was a misfire. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I don't want to go back out there. And she's like, no, what we'll do is we'll pull that gun in and we'll make sure that it gets taken care of. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, don't send me back out there.
Oh, you know, I just looked up too, because I was like, I meant to look it up while I was reading it. That particular peacemaker gets a name. Christopher Smith. It's the same Smith. As like, I didn't realize that was the peacemaker that we know. John Cena peacemaker. I assumed it, but I wanted to look it up. And so
Our titular peacemaker. But then, I mean, I don't know, like, I've listened to some podcasts and read some stuff about, like, the sycophantic, like, how the sycophant syndrome of AI, how it tells you that you're great and that you're doing nothing wrong, right? And then, we've had kids learn how to commit suicide based on what AI has told them about how to do it. And so
I'm doing college courses right now in this master's program. And do you know how tempting it is to use AI? I think it's so much easier. But I'm like, I'm not doing it. Like, what's the point of paying all this money to do it? And like, I'm struggling through this assignment right now because it's kind of a weird format that they want it, which seems to contradict itself. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And yeah. It's just like, I'm a browser click away from just being like, hey, can you do this? You know? Yeah. And I was reading this book. And I'm like, no, Kal-El wouldn't do this. And neither would Lois Lane.
That's right.
Nor is I can't. Travis Ratz.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. Like, if you're watching this right now, and we'll probably promote this at the end, is we're experimenting with some YouTube videos. We put a couple on there before, but this is kind of like a newer format on here. And Josh and I, when talking about these bumpers and, you know, like graphics for it, I was like, hey, Josh, can you kind of come up with an idea? I go, I could go to AI, but I really don't want to.
Yeah, there's just, you know? I mean, there's this piece where I'm like, AI art is icky, and AI writing, like the creative writing, the like, that's it. It's good because it's self-expression of the human spirit. And that, man, that sounds super cheesy to say, but I understand why, as a writer, as a creator, you're going to bring that real world thing into your writing and be able to kind of espouse against it. Mm-hmm. It's pretty heavy handed in this story. It's not veiled.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's okay.
I kind of dig it because I don't think, at least I haven't read any comics lately who are this on the nose about like, hey, AI might be bad. It kind of reminds me, it's, you know, you remember Dare, the Dare program, and they would shoot like Dare cartoons where they had different cartoons from different networks.
Yeah.
Like meet together and talk about like Bugs Bunny. And then like the Ninja Turtles would be like, don't do crack or something like that. This is kind of like, in some ways it's like a Superman PSA on like, hey, maybe AI.
Maybe you should write your own paper, right? Like, yeah. Hey kids, write your own essay. But
kids, do you like AI? Do you want to sit?
It's a really interesting, I think it's, this is like a, is it six issues? This is like a six issue introduction. And that is a lot of like setup. And I think that's what we got. It felt like Batman was a very long setup. Wonder Woman felt like a story, man. It didn't feel as much of a setup.
Well, and it didn't even, it had like only three issues of the setup, and then it was like, you know, extra material.
This feels like a really long setup, and I'm curious to where it goes after this, because I feel like I now understand the rules of the world, kind of. I understand Krypton, what Krypton was like. I don't really understand Superman yet. I don't really understand Lois Lane yet, but I understand like the world we're living in and sort of like the world that Kal-El came from. This feels like a lot of world building, and I'll be curious to now that the world, well, it's probably not finished being fleshed out, but like, I kind of want to go like, okay, all right, tell me what's Superman doing? We don't really get to see him do much. The instances that we see him here are the peacemakers are after him, right? We're not seeing him. We didn't see what he did in Egypt. We didn't see what he did in all of these countries. We didn't see what he did to help on the reservation in the United States. We just get the snippet, the very, nine panel grid. Like the flashback to Dark Knight Returns talking heads, right?
I'll be honest to say the story itself, because that, even though it like spans the world, it felt very bottled because we're getting the kind of same environment just in different places, because it, whatever it was just like a Lazarus Corporation in that place. So it felt like it didn't have a home. I felt most home when we were in Kansas and when we were in Krypton in the moments that we were. But to me, I guess what's interesting for me is figuring out who Superman's going to be. I equate it to this, Josh. We work in education. We've taught at different schools. And there's this thing where education, as educators, you can, through periods, have issues with where education is going, and you work at a school where they go in a direction, you're like, I don't know, man, this is kind of against my principles as an educator where education should be. And then you go to a different school, and then you see more here, and you want to kind of be like, well, no, you're going down that same road as the school I just came from, but you're just one kind of small voice in this. So yeah. How, as one small voice, how do you make this big change? And I like how they make Superman actually kind of a shy wallflower type character. Like he mumbles and he doesn't speak up, you know? Yeah. But when he deals with people one-on-one, like that panels you were talking about where people were talking,
yeah,
they all describe like the connection to Superman.
Yeah.
Like just like, oh, he smelled like this. And he looks at you like you're this. And to me, it is like Wonder Woman. It is kind of hopeful in the sense that we talked about Wonder Woman, how it left us kind of being like, yes, we can make change. Like, yeah. Or Wonder Woman was more about, we talked about leadership style.
Yeah. And hope and like yeah. love and compassion. Right.
Yeah. And then this one for me is just like, no, like one-on-one, like a person that gets the system is really going to come with a challenge, but you can change hearts one-on-one with the right approach.
Right.
And so I'm starting to see, at least in these last two, I'd have to go back and think about Batman, that these absolute books are kind of like, I don't know, man. They get me like stirred up. They get me like wanting to be a better person.
I think we're at the third book in the great holy trinity of DC, right? Where I think so far our thesis holds that if you strip away or change things, the heart of the character still can be there. And it feels like that's what each of these writers is exploring. The heart of that character is still that character. Even if you plop them down in a different place, give them different circumstances. I don't think we got the full display of Superman yet. Right.
Yeah.
What did you think of
the heart of rock and roll is the beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of Superman's costume in this? This change. It's a, you know, we go like, oh, the Batman costume was such a different, but it wasn't. He's still a bat. He's still, you know, like he's a little more brutal. But what did you think of the Iron Manification of Superman?
Aesthetically, not a huge fan, honestly. I like the fabric-y Superman costume, but of course that would be completely out of place with the whole point of the story of
right.
this suit, this tech suit and Krypton's red clay on here. And it also makes sense from a storytelling point. If we're going to keep Superman separate from friends and family, he needs someone to bounce ideas off of. Yeah. So the sole character of his suit allows you, I'm guessing probably Superman's going to continue to be on the run for several more issues. And this sole character is probably the sole outfit, the, AI, I'm guessing. Josh, is that why he hates Soul so much? Is because he's just like, Soul, get me out of here now. He's like, I hate you, AI.
I think the cape is interesting. I don't know that I like it, but I think it's interesting that you could have gotten rid of the cape, right? Because that's a very kind of moderny Superman take. Like, get rid of the cape, right? Make a blue lightning Superman, no cape. Or Superboy, no cape, right? Give him a leather jacket. But
that's actually pretty cool, though.
It is pretty cool. this cape is, it's this interesting thing that he has, and it's cheesy. He has a piece of home with him.
Yeah, a little pixie right? dust.
And that's kind of sweet, right? It gives you like yeah. this little like, oh, he's got like, it's like when you go to the beach and you put some sand in a jar and you take it home with you. Cause so you're reminded, you're reminded of the beach. He's got this with him. He's got the red dirt, the red sands of Krypton with him. What did you
think? Yeah, the cape of the outfit is the coolest part. Just aesthetically, yeah. like the look of the outfit with the.
It's gotta be a pain in the butt to draw this though, man.
Yeah, with like the God, I don't even know what you'd call that effect. The serrated, almost like Colossus, yeah. you know.
Yeah.
Every time you want to do it.
What do you?
I like the collar. I like the high collar on the outfit. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. What did you think of Krypton as a location? About like, okay, we get to see this alien world. Everybody gets to give their spin on Krypton. What did you think of this sort of the desert
and
that he's from.
Purple waves of majesty. I liked it. I liked he draws a parallel when he lands in Kansas, because Kansas isn't home to him because he grew up with the Kents. Kansas is home to him because when he lands on that farm, it reminds him of the fields of Krypton that he,
which
that
is
he
pretty,
grew up on with his family.
Pretty sweet,
and,
right?
Like, and I like the how they use the aesthetics of Krypton. It's just kind of a farmer boy, man. He's like us, Josh. You know, it comes from Midwest roots, you know?
Yeah.
Surplanted on there. You know what? I'm starting to see parallels between me and Superman. I come from Midwest lineage, born in a foreign place.
I was reading this in bed, and I was telling Gabby that we were doing the podcast. She's like, I said, oh, we're doing Superman. She's like, oh, that's what that was. There were so many people who had S's on their chest. She's like, I looked over and saw, and he's like, who is the lady with the S on her chest? I'm like, that's Superman's mom. And he goes, why does Superman's mom look like that? like Superman's mom
She's
is hot.
Foxy.
Yeah. I said, well, you know, Superman's like a hunky dude. Like, his mom's probably going to be banging,
man, his
right?
Jeans are good, man. Stupid question. Go to bed. You should. Is that when you reach over and turn off her bedside lamp for her?
Go to bed, Gabby. Of course, Superman's real mom is hot.
That would be my absolute Superman. Everything stays exactly the same, except Superman's parents are just dogs, just buggos.
It's an interesting piece. We meet the key players. The sting at the end is, you know, like Lazarus. Of course, it's controlled by Ra's al Ghul, right?
The whole time I'm like, are we bringing in Batman villains here? I'm like, it's got to be Lazarus. I mean, it's DC world. You can't say Lazarus without thinking of Lazarus.
Without
pits.
The Lazarus pit and Ra's al Ghul. So my question for you, let's talk art really quick. This is probably the most house of the three books we've read so far. What did you think of the art on Superman?
Again, like, it's when you get the, I think it is like pretty deep in the pocket of house. There are some panels, like Superman's face gets a little bit more, I mean, it's his house, which I think worked for this.
I mean, it's Superman, right? Like, you go, like, of course.
Superman. And now we've tried Superman different ways before, but I think with the all the technology that we see in this book when it comes to Krypton and stuff like that, house style does kind of lend well to, like, a real polished, you know, highly saturated color.
Yeah.
Colors on here. The good thing about House with all these characters in it is, like, House allows you to kind of very quickly distinguish people's faces, you know?
Yeah.
They're detailed enough and colored differently that, like, oh, Lois Lane doesn't look like this. All the peacemakers look the same because they're in their outfit, but we got Lois Lane and we have a bunch of the people that Superman saves and they all feel different. And as we're going from place to place, you're like, oh, these people look a little bit different. Oh, he's in a different country. He's in this. So it becomes like I actually don't think House is a bad thing. I think it allows you to shortcut a lot and get into the story quicker because you're not adjusting to a different art style. And so you can just boom, jump into the story and just start going. Because if it was kind of a funky art style, and then he had to struggle with this kind of new vision of Superman and this kind of slower burn story, that's a lot of adjusting to do. And so house style just lets you kind of cruise.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think, you know, it's not my favorite kind of art in it, but I think it serves the story well, right? Because you have so many characters, you're able to do this. And then I think if you're going to kind of upend the universe, you want to kind of ground it maybe. And so I think that the house style kind of lets you ground that. Also, I think this is a picture of Lois that Gabby saw, or not Lois, of Superman. Yeah. Superman's mom, with a giant gun looking like a baddie. So like I dug it enough to kind of get through it. My question for you is Ra's al Ghul a choice? I was like, okay, all the peacemakers and robot suits, where's Lex Luthor? Mm-hmm. Or Travis Ratz? is Lex Luthor going to be an Omega Man? Where's Lex fit into all this?
Well, I thought for sure Smallville thing. I don't know. I never watched Smallville, but was there a love triangle between Clark, Lex, and
Lana? Think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Cause it'd be nice to get a little love triangle between Lex, Lois and Clark, on there.
But I wonder where Lex
who would I want
world?
Lex to be in this world. I guess it would be interesting for him to be like another like kind of justice warrior with a different approach than Superman. I mean, in some ways that's what Lex is in Superman anyways, right? What's the better?
Yeah. Oftentimes he's kind of used as that
authoritarianism.
Foil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On there, but yeah, that's right. I guess I didn't miss Lex in this.
No, neither did I.
Because
but
it was so Superman based. But I'm like, oh, it is a fun thing to speculate on. I don't know how many issues they're in.
It was corporate overlords, and I'm like, okay, corporate overlords. Where's Lex Luthor at, man? Like that's his MO, right? Shouldn't he be wrapped into this Lazarus? And the fact that, I mean, you knew that Ra's al Ghul was coming, but it was a curious case of like, okay, well, if Lazarus isn't being driven by Lex, where does Lex fit in this world? So I'll be curious to see how they bring him in or they play him in this. I don't read, you know, monthly comic books. And so for me, I feel like I'll probably check in with this. I think volume two is out of Wonder Woman. So those are things where I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll check them out over the summer when I'm not, you know, when things kind of slow down at work or whatever, maybe I'll check them out. I got a long weekend and I'm like, oh, let's check in with that. Let's read what's going on. I'm so far the three books that we've read. This one, I feel that this is creating the most different world for Superman to play in. So I'm curious as to where it continues because of that. Wonder Woman,
because the worlds in Wonder Woman and in Batman, like the civilians in that world, they don't seem to exist in the same oppressiveness,
right?
Oppression as what's happening here. This seems like global authoritarianism, and you don't get that sense in there. But it is kind of a lockdown. We're only seeing the Lazarus sites. We're only seeing these corporation sites.
So. Yeah, and I think in Wonder Woman you're getting essentially the stand-in for San Francisco, right? You get like one town on the coast. You get Gotham, right? And Gotham's going through its own kind of weird thing, right? Like, but I'm curious to how they interact all of these worlds together, because they're all supposed to be happening in the absolute universe. I'll be curious how it all comes together. I think I want to see more of this book, like I said, based on what the world is, not the character of Superman. The Wonder Woman book, I want to see more of that Wonder Woman, right? Like that's there's a great kind of character in there. This one, I want to see more of the world. And that's an interesting thing to be like, oh, I want to keep reading because I want to know what this world is like. Not that I need to know more about the lead, you know? It's an interesting thing to kind of be pulled along by is the world and not the character.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be really interesting next episode when we bring in a fourth absolute book this year, which is going to be a Martian Manhunter, Martian Manhunter.
And so
– which I'm going to have a hard time picking out the differences between like
and
OG
I think that,
Martian
and
Manhunter
I think that'll be
and
interesting.
Martian Manhunter.
I think that'll be interesting for us because it is an interesting character that's the one that they chose to go with, right? And there's an absolute Flash and there's an absolute Green Lantern, but absolute Martian Manhunter, I'm like, huh. And the art looks wild, so I'm excited
about
that.
The art looks wild, yeah.
Yeah, so folks, thanks for tuning in. For our little book club on Absolute Superman. You can find all of our episodes over at comicexposure.com or on your favorite podcast app, whatever that is. And then write a review, rate us, whatever. You can find us on Instagram. We're at Comic Exposure on Instagram. We share what's coming up. What are the books for the month? some favorite scenes and panels in those books, and then random crap from our comic book exploits. So,
yeah, and if you're listening to this on a podcast, we're trying out something. We're throwing some stuff up on YouTube. I mean, nothing too exciting at this point. We're just kind of, I mean, we use a program that captures it. So I'm playing around with how to do this more conveniently for me. And if it doesn't become too big of a hassle, it may be something you can look, you know, if you prefer video podcasts. I mean, we're not cosplaying.
No,
we don't have.
I did wear a Superman shirt though. I did wear a Superman. Yeah.
Shirt. Oh, man, look at you.
A little Doomsday action. You know, you got.
I've been wearing my preacher shirt to the gym.
Nice.
Not getting any looks, but in my head I am. So you can check that out as well. And also, Josh, we've been doing this for many years. We're still getting these at comic exposures. We own this title, man.
That's right. Yeah, this is us. So, folks, thanks for tuning in. Next up is Martian, Absolute Martian Manhunter. Grab it, read along. I think it's like $9.99 on the old Kindle. You can give money to that corporate overlord. Our world's version of...
Or you can use AI to write your own Absolute Superman.
Yeah. Do that.
Don't do that.
Yes. So, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next trade.